best actors, actresses, pictures, and all that goes with it for the Academy Awards this year. And it's been a while. You know, they had tremendous challenges this year in Hollywood. People forget, because of the gravity of the more important news, that there was a 4-month actors and screenwriters strike that brought film production to a standstill last year. And then the unions were fighting the streaming services and artificial intelligence, all of that, to the movie goer doesn't matter, right? You just want to see a movie.
Yeah.
So finally, the nominations came out. The one category that's always interesting is the top 10 films of the year.
Nominated for Best Picture, right?
Correct. And you have the list.
I do. Here we go. Anora, The Brutalist, A Complete Unknown. This one I recognize. This is about Bob Dylan, right?
Yeah, it's Bob Dylan's, basically the beginning of Bob Dylan's career.
Another one called Conclave. I know about that one. Dune Part 2, Emilia Perez, I'm Still Here, Nickel Boys, The Substance, and Wicked. There's one everybody recognizes, or most everybody.
And that's the list?
That is it.
Have you seen any of those films?
No, but I do want to see
Complete Unknown.
I do want to see Complete Unknown.
Aaron, have you seen any of the top 10 movies just nominated for an Academy Award?
Wicked. I gotta say, though, I'm underwhelmed at these, all the categories, in truth. I feel like every year they kind of just do a toss-up and just choose. Because some of these, I'm kind of...
Well, yeah. One of them is Adrian Brody in The Brutalist. It's 3.5 hours.
Oh, my. Mm-mm. Boy, that's going to be... Did they break it up with an intermission, I hope?
I don't know, because I don't know too many people that can make it that long without a bathroom.
Exactly.
Right, at this point. And what was the other one that I did? I saw Wicked. It was really well done.
Absolutely. 100%. Really. And I think we all knew, like, that was absolutely going to get a few nods for sure.
And Nora is a movie I never even heard of. But listen to the description of this film. A rowdy raunch fest about a sex worker who's kidnapped by a clown car of Russian gangsters.
Oh, boy.
What?
That sounds like, that sounds a little bit like that Everywhere, Everything, All the Time movie. You know, the not too long ago. I can't remember the title, but you know what I'm talking about.
Well, that's a great point.
Out of the box.
So what happens is you hear, okay, this was nominated for an Academy Award for the Best Picture, so I'll watch it. And then you watch it and go, I don't get it. That was one of those movies that was so hard to follow.
You know, now, Dune Part 2, this is something I know a little about, because I liked the first Dune movie.
Right, I saw Part 1.
And, you know, but the reviews weren't all that good, the ones that I saw. Or am I wrong about that?
No, you're right. If you liked the first one, you would presumably like the second one. But sequels are so hard.
Yes, they are.
To match, you know, and same thing, Gladiator, two, after all these years, if you saw the first one, it's hard to match.
Oh, speaking of which, I, on the way into my desk this morning, looked up at one of the monitors and saw that Billy Crystal and Meg Ryan are being brought back together for some type of Harry Met Sally type deal.
Yeah.
I'm not making that up. All these years ago.
For Ridley Scott, though, to not be nominated is like insane.
Well, you know,
me.
I think that that's a great point, because I'm a huge fan of Ridley Scott.
Yes, he's
movies.
Brilliant. Yeah. I don't think that that was logical at all.
Well, how about Conclave? Now, I did see this film.
Well, now, this is about selecting a pope, and apparently there's some odd plot twists to it.
Yes. Yeah, I'm not going to be a spoiler.
This takes
for
you behind the scenes after they close the doors, and it's just the cardinals in there rooting around.
Correct. But Ralph Fiennes is a tremendous actor, and he's up for Actor of the Year. Isabella Rossellini's in it. She plays a nun. And I liked the movie.
You saw it?
I did see it. But I didn't see all these other movies. So run down real quick again the list, the entire 10 movies.
Here we go. Anora, it's spelled A-N-O-R-A.
Yeah, that's the one with the clown car thing.
Yeah. The Brutalist, Complete Unknown, Conclave, Dune Part 2, Emilia Perez, I'm Still Here, Nickel Boys, The Substance, and Wicked. And the ceremony is March 2nd in L.A., assuming that they've got the fires out by then.
Well, this list was supposed to come out on the 17th, but they delayed it because of the fires. So there you are, the top 10 movies that almost nobody we know saw. This afternoon, check out The Drive at 5, top stories of the day every weekday afternoon, brought to you by Service Master of Greater Pittsburgh, Demand the Yellow Van, with Colin Dunlap, 2 to 6, Marty Griffin coming up, 10 until 2, and we'll talk to Marty in the next half hour about what he's got scheduled. Meanwhile, the weather has been one of the big stories around the country. No matter where you are, mention New Orleans, 10 inches of snow, first ever blizzard warning all along that Gulf of Mexico, and snow on beaches as far south as Destin and Panama City.
Fortunately, I think the high today in New Orleans will be 45, so the thawing out will begin.
And CBS's Katie Weiss is there.
From above, New Orleans is as pretty as a picture.
It's beautiful.
Oh, beautiful.
But on the ground, the Big Easy's record 10 inches of snow and freezing temperatures have turned roads and bridges into an icy mess.
We're going to continue just fighting this as much as we can as far as temperatures raise and Mother Nature starts doing this work for us.
It's slow going on snow-covered streets, but the dig out is underway, with the city paying a company from Indiana to use 14 of their snow plows, with more on the way.
What's it been like shoveling all this snow?
It's hard.
Gas station manager Sabri Ijak is improvising, breaking out his power tools and wrapping his shoes in plastic to keep his feet dry.
Looks like you had a lot of folks here helping you, though. Has it been a group effort?
From the community, they even join in and try to help.
From Texas to Florida, the South is snowed in, and the situation is dangerous. At least 9 people are dead from storm-related traffic accidents and cold exposure. More than 130,000 homes and businesses were without power across 5 states at the peak of the storm. The weather has also snarled air travel nationwide. More than 1,800 flights were canceled and thousands were delayed. At least 8 major airports are still closed.
And back in the Big Easy, travel is anything but, with major interstates like I-10 near the Superdome still closed and expected to remain closed due to freezing conditions. But the city says that dozens of other streets have reopened thanks to plowing efforts. I'm Katie Weiss, CBS News, New Orleans.
And 2 weeks and a couple of days away from the Super Bowl.
That's right.
In New Orleans.
Wow.
Because I know people go there at this time of year, and Mardi Gras underway, right? They're already doing Mardi Gras stuff.
I don't know that they are. Let me see.
Because you have the convergence of all these things.
I think it's after.
After the Super Bowl?
Let me see here. No. Hello. The first parade was on the 6th. They've been parading. You're right. They've got parades coming up this weekend. And then you get into February, there's even more parades. So, yeah. The big ones, though, the two big wins are Rex and Zulu. And I can't find them right here. But, yeah, looks like it's already underway.
Don Mardi Gras.
Yep.
Yeah, so we're looking at a little warmer weather over the weekend, just above freezing here. And then Monday, we should get to 36. But it's been a challenge here with the deep freeze.
Yeah. 12th night, it started on January 6th, by the way. So Carnival started on the 6th, and you have Mardi Gras Day is March 4th. So it goes quite a long time, but yeah. So during February, while the Super Bowl is in town, they're going to be doing their thing. That's going to be something.
Who's going to be in the Super Bowl?
Well, that's the question we asked Bill Hillgrove earlier, and I think he's right. I think it's going to be Kansas City and Philadelphia.
One of those two is going to upset, I think.
I just look at it this way. After he said that the Bills were 5-4 on the road this year, that told me what I needed to know. I think they're at a disadvantage in Kansas City already to begin with, although I would much prefer to see the Bills make it.
By the way, just found out 13 minutes ago, T.J. Watt is a finalist for Defensive Player of the Year.
As well he should be.
One of five finalists, 17 regular season games, 61 tackles, 40 of them solo, 11 and a half sacks, 19 tackles for loss, 27 quarterback hits, 6 forced fumbles, 4 passes defended, 3 strip sacks, and 2 fumble recoveries. Pretty good. And for those who were wondering, because someone suggested they should use him as trade bait, he wants to be here, and I'm sure the Steelers want him to be here for his entire career, wear the same helmet, right?
Right.
He wants to be part of the solution. That's a quote of moving forward for next season already. So these guys, and same thing, like Russell Wilson said on Pat McAfee's show on ESPN, he wants to retire as Steeler, be the quarterback.
It'd be okay with me if they can go and win a Super Bowl. I mean, that's what we're all hoping for.
Where's the Super Bowl next year? Wilmerding.
Oh, boy.
Marty Griffin, 10 until 2. We'll check in with Marty in the next few minutes, see what he has lined up today. And some school delays today, not so much closings, but it's the fourth straight day where we've had the KDK Radio Storm Center open, brought to you by Service Master of Greater Pittsburgh, Demand, the Yellow Van, and the Butler Transit Authority. You can always reach our list at kdkradio.com, where you also can see many of our guests via video in our video stream presented by Metropolitan Window Company. And joining us is Emily Jo Gaspich, who is the Executive Director of the Urban Land Institute. Good morning, Emily.
Good morning, Larry.
I can see you, which is kind of cool on radio. Meantime, you have heard and have been a part of a lot of discussions about how to jumpstart downtown Pittsburgh and the Pittsburgh area, revitalize the city. We heard from the Downtown Pittsburgh Partnership yesterday talking about their 3-year plan for the Golden Triangle. First, tell us about the Urban Land Institute. How long has this been in place, and what's the mission?
So the Urban Land Institute is one of the oldest and largest networks of cross-disciplinary real estate and land use experts in the world. We were established in 1936. We have about 45,000 members globally. 40,000 of those members are in the Americas. And in 1989, Pittsburgh was fortunate enough to get a district council, and district council are what we kind of call our boots on the ground in the city. And we have about 200 members here. There's about 48 some district councils in the United States. And we are basically a group that focuses on education, best practices, lessons learned. So as a 501c3, our specialty is really convening stakeholders to find solutions for land use problems. And some of our mission priorities are attainable housing, decarbonization and net zero, and educating the next generation of diverse professionals. But we also have other centers and initiatives within our organization, in particular, our real estate and capital markets center, which is the department that helps us put on the Emerging Trends event.
And that just took place on Tuesday of this week. So at the Power Center at Duquesne University. So what were some of the takeaways from that gathering?
It did. It was a very exciting gathering, and I think it was very optimistic. You know, Pittsburgh was named in one of the top 20 cities for climate resilience. We are top three in terms of what we pay AI engineers. We're only behind San Francisco and Seattle. And, you know, when you get down to it, Pittsburgh is relatively more affordable than some other cities. And so what we want to focus on is we do have some of the oldest housing stock. So how can we better leverage the housing stock that we have and also create opportunities for more housing stock and more dense housing stock? I think connectivity was a theme. We've had some great opportunities over these, I want to say maybe the past 15 years or so, with the T being extended over to the North Shore. The North Side neighborhoods are bustling now and becoming more dense with more residential people. The BRT is coming online to connect the Oakland community. So where are there opportunities to make more transit connections so that it's an attractive city for people and it's easy to get around? And also, where can we create opportunities, more opportunities for outside space? And I think, you know, Pittsburgh is very fortunate in the fact also that we have a lot of philanthropic organizations and a thriving nonprofit community. And what organizations like River Life and PDP and the Parks Conservancy, what they've been able to do with our public spaces is amazing. And I think it's a testament to what we can continue to do in the future here.
One of the examples is the Gulf Tower, which everybody in the region is aware of for years. It's been so iconic, is a $230 million plan to begin the process of turning it into apartments and an upscale hotel. Which is a big deal because the stakeholder there wants to, you know, make it work for Pittsburgh.
Yes, and it should be noted that Rugby Realty, you know, they've passed the test in Pittsburgh. You know, back in the early 2000s, Eve Picker and Rugby Realty were already starting to convert some of these office buildings into housing. So they definitely know how to do it. We definitely know that it can be done. I think right now, because there's such a sense of urgency to reposition the downtown to be more balanced in terms of office space and residents, that it kind of seems like it's taking forever. But real estate projects, you know, typically do take years, sometimes decades in the making, especially if you're trying to assemble land and clear title and get your investors excited. And now with these conversions, you know, one of the big challenges is identifying what buildings can more easily be converted than others. Not to get too technical and, you know, too nerdy here, but, you know, one of the biggest challenges is that when you have an office building, all of the utilities and stairs and services are kind of in the center of the building. And when you're converting it over to residential, sometimes the plumbing and HVAC can be a little bit challenging to get it spread out through residential units. So that's where we're seeing a lot of the need for more detailed design and something that adds to the costs.
Well, more to come, and it's only going to get busier downtown. Emily Jo Gaspich, Executive Director of the Urban Land Institute. Appreciate your time this morning. Thank you.
Thank you, Larry.
All right, coming up, we're going to check in with Marty Griffin. He has a plan in studio with a preview. I know tomorrow you're going to be at Oakmont Bakery.
Love that place.
Great.
Love that joint. And I love Mark Serrao. It's an amazing family. Hey, ma'am. I know it's warmer, whatever the hell that means, because it's still really dangerously cold. Man, we're going to talk to a woman. These gas companies, Larry, these people that rely on propane, if the propane runs low and then these gas companies get jammed up, they screw over these people. They have no propane. And it's dangerous as hell. We're going to get into the middle of that. Man, we're going to also hear from a guy who was right in the middle of that horrible, horrible shooting yesterday right across the state line in Ohio. God, Larry. Mentally ill guy, suicidal's walking down the street. He starts shooting, shoots a cop in the head. He hits a little girl, Larry.
5 years old.
Four and a half years old, sitting in a dentist chair. A dentist chair, Larry. She's dead. We're going to talk about mental illness. We're going to talk about how police handle this. The officer, he was shot in the head. The suspect is dead. The officer is here in Pittsburgh at a hospital. He will most likely live. We'll get into that. I also got to talk about DEI. What the hell does it mean? What's its impact? And our friend, my friend and yours from the Urban League, they went berserk. They fully had a full meltdown, snapped. This is obscene. This is obnoxious. They're going to throw down. And I got a letter last night about that the Fed sent out. They're clearing house. Most Americans, Larry, most Americans think, I should say a lot of Americans think that this is a return to hire the best qualified. But for many, many people, that's not true. It just isn't. Many people are flipping out over this. And how about Anthony Coghill yesterday throwing down on the mayor? Whoa.
I heard.
I don't trust him. I don't talk to him. So how about if you don't talk
to... City council member.
Bingo. How about if you don't talk to your boss, the guy who runs this town, and then you all run the town together for 3 years? And then we're going to talk about... Did you see the picture of this public works truck with no wheels on it sitting in the middle of a bridge? We found out what happened. It's obnoxious, the way that department's run. And I found out through sources that the mayor's been driving around looking at the beat-up trucks. Now, he won't talk about this issue with us. He won't come on the air to respond to it. But I'm told he's out there looking at the beat-up trucks. All right. Lot going on, man. A lot going on. And Selena Zito outraged this morning. I'm going to tell you why. And I'm just as hacked off. So our alleged congresswoman, Simmer, S-I-M-M-E-R, because she's angry all the time, she posted this. And I got to read this. Give me 1 second, Larry, because you're going to understand the verbatim. She sends this out. This is our alleged leader. It has long been known that the true religion of the right, that would be anyone Republican, anyone conservative, about 80 million Americans, Larry. It has long been known that the true religion of the right is white supremacy and xenophobia. Really? So what she's telling the world, this is our representative, Simmer Lee, that anyone who's Republican is a racist and a xenophobe, which means you fear anyone who's an outsider, anyone who's different. Larry, to which I say, is that as good as it gets? Is this as good as it's going to get for us in Western Pennsylvania? And if she thinks she's going to have any impact, any way of helping this region in this new era of Trumpism with that attitude and that anger, there ain't no way, brother. So because she's angry all the time, we get screwed. And that's a fact. And it irritates me to no end that people allow their personal feelings to get in the way of helping Western Pennsylvania. And that's what's going to happen here.
Coming up with Marty Griffin.